Okay, Rabbi Sai, we are Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, the beer, Chelkei HaZehirus. This is now following after the, which was the Chelik of Chassidus. Now he's embarking further. This is Perek Gimel. We already did Perek Beis. This is already further. Perek Chelkei, this is another chapter in the Chelkei HaZehirus. And basically, as we begin here, when he starts out with the Chelkei HaZehirus, Zehirus means to be very careful. It means a person should be very vigilant. And Ramchal starts out and he says, "Hine haroitzel lepakeach al atzmoi." If a person really wants to supervise his actions, "Shtaim heino ha-hashkofos hatzrichos loy." He says the truth is that there are two methods that are very necessary. If a person really, truly wants to supervise his actions, there are two inyonim first. Hoachas, he says, the very first is, sheyizboinen mahu hatoiv hoamiti sheyivchar boi ho'odom. A person really has to investigate what is the definition of toiv. A person has to first, before he decides to do something, he has to ponder and he has to investigate what is the definition of toiv. What? How do you define toif? What are your goals of toif? So therefore, this deserves and requires study. She is bainin ma'u ha-toif hu-emiti, that a person has to ponder what is the true good. People have a lot of definitions of what is good, but in fact, it's not good. Therefore, a person has to be misbainin, he has to study ma'u ha-toif hu-emiti. What is the emes digit toif? She yivcha bo-yodom, that a person should choose. And also what is considered to be truly harmful, that he should flee from it. So Ramchal says that before you start anything, a person really has to study. You have to study what is really good, what is really good, what a person should choose, and what's the real harm that a person should actually flee from it. So that's the first thing. In other words, if he doesn't do that, then you won't succeed. Pshutukim Hashmoy. So Lamaisa, you have to study in order to define what's considered the real good in life and what's considered a real harm in one's life. But the Miller used to point out, Rabbi Miller used to say, so a person will say, we know. Say, I know what's good. Say, I know what's good, we already know. So what's the use of studying? Why do you have to study? I know what's good. So the point that it says the truth is that they don't know. Because there's so much to know about what's considered good in life that you actually have to study it. He used to give always a marshal, he used to say is, he said, let's say here you have a person. He says, you have a man who's a firm person, but he does know how to guard his tongue. So when he talks and with his tongue, he does so many averis that he loses everything. There's an aspect in that area. He's educational, emotional in that area. Well, you say, let's say you have, here you have a nice, firm man. He says he keeps Shmir Saloshin. Ramil used to say he keeps Shmir Saloshin, but he fights with his wife. So he says, you realize if that's the case, the wife happens to be the most frequent person that he deals with. So if he has that chasarn, it means that most of his life, he's unsuccessful. So most of his life is unsuccessful if he has that problem. So Lamaisa, what you have to know is what's meant, what's good in life. Used to say what's good in life, of course, includes many things. It includes about the good midos, good character. It means good habits, going to learn, kriyasitim l'toyre. Means davening with a minyan, going to shul. It means where you're going to live. What kind of a neighborhood are you going to choose to live in? It means how do you conduct your business affairs. It means how do you consider the future of your children. Do you let them just grow up just like that? And therefore, Lamaisa, a person has to study. A person, Bemis, has to study in order to determine what's good in life. And as mentioned, good means many, many things. And what's not good in life, so it also includes many things. And there's no question, of course, that if a person is in contact with the right svarim, then he'll get this information. That's what the Mesillas Rishon really is emphasizing. She is Bainin Mahu HaToyv Vemiti, deserves study. To realize, in fact, if he's involved with what is really actually good. He's to point out, Ramila says, like a person when you drive a car. So there's so many things, he says, the person drives the car that you have to watch for. So he says, if you don't, everybody knows what's going to happen. So the same thing, he says, is in the highway of life. The highway of life also, you have to know how to drive. You have to know what to avoid. So that's the first thing that Ramchal is emphasizing, to determine what are the things that are useful and to realize that there are many, many things that are harmful. And then Ramchal will say, Vahashenis, as we go further. Vahashenis, and the second thing, says Ramchal, is that you also have to pay attention on the deeds that you're doing, which means Alam Maisim Mashu Huayse. A person has to pay attention to the Maisim that he is doing. Lirois Imhei Miklal HaToiv Miklal HaRa. In other words, once you have determined step number one, once you have determined what is Toiv, what is really good, you have determined what is harmful, now that you know what's Toiv, what's Ra, now you have to check out your Maisim against those definitions. But basically you won't be able to check out your Maisim if you don't first really have studied to really know, in fact, what is the Toiv and what is the Ra. Once you have determined, as he said, Huachas, the first thing, to determine what is Toiv and what is Ra, so now check out your Maisim, he says, that's Vashenis. To find out, to check out how's your behavior. Whether your behavior is in fact in accordance with those principles that you saw were good, or is it in accordance with the things that you know that should be avoided? So that's what Ramchal says. That in fact, he says, Vizeh, and this idea that we're mentioning, and there's this idea that a person basically has to check out his Maisim, is really, this applies twofold on two levels. Ramchal says, Vizeh Bishas Maise, Ushloi Bishas Maise. In other words, it applies to the time when you're doing something. In other words, if I'm ready to do something, l'chayre, prevention. Preempt the potential problems. When you're ready to do something, check out and see if this is what you're about to do, does it stem with those principles that you know are good or maybe it's harmful. But not only bishas maise, not only should you do this checking when you are about to do something, but he also says, ushloi bishas maise. This is also referring to the deeds of the past. The deeds of the past, the person shouldn't think bygones, but bygones being bygones, but rather he has an obligation to be misakin those deeds as well. And as he points out now, and he says, this is how it's done. He says, Bishas Maisa, when you're dealing Bishas Maisa at the time when you're ready to do something, when you're about to do something, it means your responsibility is, Shlo Yaisa Shumaisa Mibli Sheyishko Eloisoi. Don't do anything without weighing it b'moiznei zois hayidia, on the scales of your principles. So before you're about to do something, we have responsibility. Now hopefully that you're beyond step number one. You have determined and you have studied and you know where you're going, where you should be going. You know what is toiv and what is ra. So now before you do the next move, before you make the next move, see if it stems. Right, if it fits into those principles, then which area does it fit in? Does it fit into the chelik of toiv, or whether it fits into the chelik of ra? Ushloi b'shas maise, says Ramchal, and regarding those actions that belong to the past, so the obligation of a chrayis of a person is sheyale lefonov zichroin klal masof. A person really should recall all of his deeds v'yishkol oisam. And he should weigh them also. Kemoike, the same way. B'moizne ha-mishkol hazeh. They should be weighed on the same scales. Those maisim that you have already done, they need to be rectified. And therefore they have to be kept in check to see, in fact, where was I mekalkel? Where did I err? Where was the mokim that I made a mistake? Don't say it's in the past. Yeah, mekem misakin is on the past, but that's the word. You have to be misakin. The way to be misakin is to be aware of those maisim that you have done. Lirois ma yesh behem mehora, that a person basically has to observe the maisim of the past, how much of it has evil in it, leman yidche oisoi, right, in order to be able to reject it. Person has a lot of habits. Begin to check and look back at what you have done. Now that you have this new knowledge that you have studied, what in fact is the toiv v'emiti, what is toiv and what is ra. So now you can go back and check out the things that you have done, and now realize that a lot of the things, or many of the things, need to be rejected. Uma mina toiv. You also did possibly, and most likely, a lot of good things as well in the past. So uma mina toiv lahasmid boy. So you keep the good, and you continue with the good. Lahasmid boy, right? Ulischazik boy. But a person has to basically continue with it. Masmid means to continue with that. Those things in the past that you found to be good, right? A person should persevere, preserve them. And not only preserve, l'schazik boy, and also to strengthen himself through it. And then he says, and if he finds any wrongdoing in the past meisim, so now there's another step that he has to take in order to deal with it. If they know how to deal with it. So he says, Ozi is boinein, the yachkor besichloi. Then, in fact, a person has to reflect, he has to investigate, he has to use seichel. Eze tachbulo yase losru min hara hahu letar memene. He should find out and to determine what is the proper strategy. What are the tactics, in fact, that he should use to turn aside from this wrongdoing and to be able to purify himself. In other words, a person looks back in past history, and he's not satisfied with the past. So he says, okay, I'm not satisfied, therefore I gotta change my course. It's easier said than done. Because maybe up here you believe it, but lamaisa to implement those ideals, and to be able to actually carry through, and to follow through, this also requires study. That's what Ramchal says, once you already have determined in your past deeds, that which you feel should be rejected. But you may not be able to. The temptation might be too great. You have to figure out a way of how to be able to avoid, again, falling into the same traps, same reason that brought you into it. You have to realize now that you have the seichel, to be able to really be matzliach and to implement it and to become part of your life. That's what he says. That a person has to investigate eze tachbula yase losru min hara hahu letar memenu, and also be able to cleanse himself from it. And he goes on to point out, it's not an easy task at all. He says, v'dover zeh hoidiyunu chachomeinu zechoyim levrocho. This is something that our chachomim have taught us. Biomrom. There's a famous, of course, you know, the Gemara Neirivim, big philosophical discussion. That's something we'll discuss a little bit more in detail towards the second part of this year, because we want to cover some ground here in the text. But of course, the Gemara tells us in Erev Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara tells us 2.5 years, Shtei Shonim Omechtza, 2.5 years there was a machlokes between Bishama Beis Hillel, whether Noyach Lo Yodom Shenivra, is it better that man was created, or in fact, it would have been better that he had not been created. It's a major, major discussion. Noel chol yodom shenivro yosem shenivro, or maybe it is better had not been created altogether. What is better? And there was difference of opinion, back and forth, and the Gemara tells us this was a discussion of 2.5 years. We are dealing with great minds here, the greatest that we had, discussing the pros and the cons of all the situations, looking at the way man leads his life. He's born when he comes into the world, pure. Without sin, without Avera, take a look at the baggage that he collects with him when he leaves this world. And now, calculate and make a cheshbon of what this person achieved during his lifetime, what is the positive, what is the negative, and by the way, and even if he was matzliach, even if he managed to be ahead of the game, but to realize what the challenges were, how difficult it was. You say to yourself, it was so, so difficult. Was it worth it for me to be born? Or maybe it would have been Kedai, you should not have been born. And Chazal say, Noyach Lo Yodom, and in fact, the conclusion was, that Noyach Lo Yodom, Sheloi Nivra Yoshe Mishe Nivra. Hear this? So Chazal come to the conclusion, in fact, it would have been better that man had not been created. We'll discuss that soon. But the Gemara does not leave it at that. And the Gemara continues, Vachshe Mishe Nivra, but you are created. And you were created. I mean that you were created, So now you have an achrayus, you have an obligation before you. So the Gemara says, Yefash peshu b'masov, now that you were created, it is your obligation to examine your deeds. Yefash peshu b'masov, examine your deeds. V'yom lo, and some say that, not yefash pesh, yemash peshu b'masov. That means that a person should basically feel out his deeds, should probe his deeds. What is the difference between the two? Requiring a person, now that he's born, he has an achrayus, he has an achrayus to think before he acts. And two ways, two things, Chazal tell us, two things. Either yefash peshu b'masov, to examine one's deeds. And then the other version was, v'yomel, and some said, yemash peshu b'masov. A person should actually feel out his deeds, to probe them. Now these are not synonymous phrases. As Ramchal tells us, v'tira, you will notice, sheshnei halashonos, that these are two terms, distinct terms, that they are both very beneficial and useful teachings, but they're not the same. They are both beneficial and very useful, but yimashmesh means something else and yifashpesh means something else. What is the difference? Comes Ramchal and tells us as follows. Kehine, he says, hapishpush. So when you're talking about examining, when we say that a person in fact should examine his actions, should examine his maisim, when we say that a person should examine his maisim, you know what that means? That means, lachkar al klal ha-maisim lizboinim boi. This means an overall investigation of one's past deeds to determine, as he says, hanimtso behem maisim asher lo yayosu, to determine whether in fact among the past deeds there are things that should not have been done. In other words, yefash peshu b'masov means to check out your maisim from the averis. All of the averis that you might have done in the past, you have an obligation. Because you're going to be held accountable for everything that you have done on this earth. And therefore, you are born. Now you are born, so you are born with all the achrayas. You are in it. You're in the position. And you have therefore the responsibility. You can't shirk it. You have no choice anymore. And therefore, the obligation is yefash peshu b'masov, that you have to basically examine your maisim. What does examine mean? Examine mean from sur mira. Examine your maisim as far as the ra, the avera, the evil part of it. Things that should not have been done. Asher einam holchim, things that do not follow, should not be al pi mitzvahs Hashem b'chukov. Right? That they not, make sure. See if your maisim didn't conflict with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. Right? And the laws. Because kiko asher yimtso me'ela yivarim in oilom. Because anything of this nature has to be eradicated from this world. Those bad maisim that he has done is yivarim in oilom. The Sambal and Musa point out, what you see from Ramchal, it's not enough that you don't do them. Sort of like get rid of it altogether. Like uproot that whole situation. Non-existent. As far as you're concerned, they don't exist anymore. Completely. Yivarim in oilom. Eradicate it. Yifash peshu b'masov. Examine your maisim. Examine your maisim and see which chelik of your maisim have gone against the mitzvahs Hashem, have gone contrary to the rulings of the Torah. These things have to be examined. That's called yefash peshu. Now comes the second version, which is yemashmish. What's yemashmish? Yemashmish is now a higher level. Ach hamishmishu, but when we're talking about mishmush, which is probing, probing means hachakira afilu b'maisim tovim atzmon. This is a big indictment. It means that even when we do good things, they have to be probed to see if they were really done properly. That's already a higher level of responsibility, again, which ultimately applies to everyone. Mishmush means that person says to himself, you know, I've led a good life. I did a lot of positive things. So many positive things. Today I had a great day. I did so many good things, and hopefully very few bad things. Says Ramchal, very good. Get credit, but you know what? You have to probe the good things that you have done. And he explains. Lachkar. A person has to investigate the lirois and to see hayesh b'inyonom eizet pnie asheloi toivo. Does or do any of these deeds contain any aspect of it which is not good? Is there any aspect of the good deed in your kavone, your machshava, maybe you did it, but for aggrandizement. Maybe you did it to find favor in people's eyes. In other words, the good deed that you do has to be done because this is the objective, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're here in this world to serve Hashem. That is the purpose of your being here. And when you do, and you follow, even when you follow the mitzvahs, the level that is expected, and hopefully one is able to reach that level, is to do them for the sake of Hashem. Not for the sake of honor, not for the sake because it might earn one money, give him a high position, or people look at him very, very in high esteem. They say, oh, this is a great man. All of these things are ulterior motives. This is not exactly what we're looking for. It's also credit for everything. But the high-level person, the person who's a true Eved Hashem, has in truth, and this is the achrayus, this is the responsibility, even to check out to see how pure are your ma'asim tovim, how pure are your good deeds themselves. Or yeze chelik ra, or maybe even in the good there's a chelik that's bad. Look, you have a fruit, right? There's the portion that's edible, that's the good part, but you have to discard the bad chelik. Throw away the peels, throw away the shells. You can't eat everything. That's the chelik ra. The same thing in one's actions and one's deeds. There could be a part of what you have done are like the pits that have to be thrown out. Spit them out. Get rid of them. Peel off. These are the impurities that find their way within the Maisim Tovim themselves. And he gives you an example. Yemashmesh b'masa. When we say yemashmesh, to feel out. The example is very practically, he says, Arezeh. If someone goes into a store that sells fabrics, right, and you want to buy a good fabric, what are good fabrics? So what do you do is, so he shows you all types of fabrics, but you want to feel it out yourself. So what do you do? You take your hands, if you're a maiden, but then you start feeling, you start probing, say this or that, this is not good, too thin, this is too fat, this is too thick, this is too heavy, this, the climate is not good, this is not good. So you start feeling it out. Are you talking about material? But you're feeling out to see how good is that material. That's what Yemashmesh means. Well, your mitzvah is the same thing. Your mitzvahs have to be felt out. You have to check them out. Someone would examine a beged, examine a piece of clothing. To determine, to see what is the nature of these begodim, right? Is it good? Is it strong? Is it weak? So to a person, should basically examine his deeds, libchoin tuchunosom, to determine the nature of his deeds. Betachlis ha-havchono, right, until basically he has really checked it out well, ad shi yishoyer zach v'noki, until he remains purified and cleansed. That is the havoide. So, now that we are born, so being born carries a high responsibility. If Hashpeh Bemasov, examine your deeds. That's the bad deeds. That's the Averis that you're doing. They are the sins. That's if Hashpeh Bemasov. But even the mitzvahs that you're doing also have to be checked out. Next time you may do it a little better. Maybe it'll be on a higher level. Maybe your motives will be more pure. You're doing it for the sake of Shemayim. Doing it for the sake of heaven. Klal Hadover. So therefore he says in summation, Yehoda Ma'ayin Al-Masov. A person basically should check out, he should survey all of his actions. Kulam, umefakeach al kol drochov. And he should supervise all his ways. Shloi lahaniach liatzmoi, in order to remove hergel ra umidaro, any bad tendency or any bad trait. And koshken avera v'fesha, and certainly an outright avera. But even something which is not an outright avera. But if it has something which is a bad tendency, has the leniencies, doesn't have good leniencies. And all of these things have to be really purified and worked on. And therefore he comes down and he says, Behinini Raya. He finally says, Soyrech Leodom. It's also very important, he says. He says, Sheyeyeh medagdeg vishoykel drochot varyoim beyoimoy. Ramchal says that it would be meticulous for a person to basically weigh your actions daily. Keep an accountant. This is called a cheshbon hanefesh. A cheshbon hanefesh, basically to see how your day went. And take stock of your day. The same way that a businessman, right? He's curious to know how the day went. Can't wait till tomorrow. He wants to know. He wants to see. Before he lays himself down to sleep. He takes a cheshbon to see how things are going. Person should really be medagdik. He says, Kasoichr magedoilim. The same way that you find that people who are successful business people, successful business people in their ways of business, that's what they do. Ashifalsu tomit kol oskeyem laman lo yiskalkalu. That they continuously, they keep assessing, they keep assessing, and they keep evaluating. Right? If someone is an astute businessman, so he keeps assessing and thinking and working out, how can I better the situation? Maybe I should repeat this mistake, and so on and so forth. He's totally consumed. In order, laman lo yiskalkalu, that they don't fall into any ruin. The person really should schedule fixed times and hours. It should not be just done randomly. He's talking about the optimum, of course. Rather, a person should remain very faithful to these practices. Because there's so much at stake over here. So if we take a look here, so the Ramchal again is telling us the basic principles. As he starts out with the Zahiris, that first the person has to know what is good. You have to define what's good. First, if you don't study, it becomes very subjective many times, what is good and what is not good. Certainly in the secular world, even things such as murder. Very subjective. Man decides this is murder. Man decides this situation taking a life is not murder. International law decides now's the time to go to war. This is what they decided. Some people may disagree with it. They've decided. So the same government who has laws against murder, they said now it's okay. And if someone decides against Jews, it's okay. It's also okay. Again, murder, no, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. Then it's not murder. It's beneficial. These are all things, definitions. What's Toiv and what is Ra? You have to study it. You have to know what does the Torah tell you. What does the Torah tell you, which is good, and the definitions, in fact, of what is bad. By the way, it's interesting, Ramchal says that before you check out your ma'isim, because the next step is, once you've determined what is Toiv and what is Ra, Ramchal said the next step is now, check out your ma'isim. Both, he says, that you're about to perform, and also the past deeds. I just want to mention, that in Devarim, you might remember the Pasuk in Lamed, it says, Haydoisi b'chem hayoyim es ha-shamayim v'soretz. Heaven and earth bear testimony, says the Pasuk. Hachayim v'amovis nasati l'fenecho. Because Baruch Hu says, I've given you way of life, and I've given you modus, the opposite of life. Habrocha b'klolo. I've given you brocha, and I've given you klolo. The Torah is the b'charto b'chayim. You should choose chayim. And all the mefarshim ask, because Baruch Hu tells you that I'm giving you chayim and modus, why does the Torah have to tell you b'charto b'chayim? Which logical person would take modus? The Torah is b'charto b'chayim. He has to tell you, if I've defined for you, this is chayim, this is life, and this is modus, this is death. Why is it necessary for the Torah to say Bachar to Bachayim? So many want to say that according to the Ramchal, Bachar to Bachayim is not talking about the actual practice. Bachar to Bachayim is the Torah is telling you how to plan your career. Bachar to Bachayim means first, no. Bachar to Bachayim means that you in fact have to be Bachar. You have to decide what is your Chayim. What do you define as Chayim? Bachar to Bachayim, delineate, define, study. As Ramchal said, the first thing, find out, and of course, then comes the next step, to do it, to be mikayim, to implement it. So the Torah tells us, b'charto b'chayim is, that before you embark, b'charto, make sure that in fact, that you know what you're choosing, b'charto b'chayim. So even before the ma'isim, stand on a road that's going to lead you ultimately to chayim, that you should know this. So now, what we have over here, let me tell you something very interesting. The Machal tells us that we have what's called Yimashmish B'masov, which means even your Maisim Toivim, one also has to check out to see how pure they are. So I want to read just a few lines I have in front of me. You don't have it in front of you. In the Agra de Kala, from the Bnei Yisosker and Parshas Bereishis. After the first sin, right, after the first chait, Zeitz Hadas, Kadosh Baruch Hu curses man. And he says, you'll be punished. From now on, right, man is destined to die. Furthermore, Arura Hoadomo Bavurecho, also the ground is cursed, which means to say is now you have to toil in order to be able to produce, in order to make things grow out of the ground. Because the Pasuk's lashon is v'koitz v'dardar tatzmiach loch. Because the ground now will no longer produce necessarily favorable things. You're going to have to really toil and sweat and work hard, because otherwise it's going to produce thorns and thistles. V'koitz v'dardar tatzmiach loch. Right? Thorns and thistles it's going to produce. Let me just quote you a few lines here of the B'nai Yisoscha and the Agra Dekali. He says as follows. He says, Hinei Moshe Kosa B'Torah. In the Torah we find Dalad de Echad Rabosi. We find the Dalad of Echad is written larger. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If you open up and say Torah, you see it in the Chumash also. The Dalad of Echad is written large. The Haresh, also the Resh. The Leis Ishtachave Le'elacha. Right? Leis Ishtachave Le'elacher. The Resh of Acher is also enlarged. And this is, by the way, a Kabbalah. So Kabbalah Messinai, this is the way these letters have to be written. The Dalit is enlarged and the Resh is enlarged. Says the Agra Dekala V'marno Lefi Pshutoi Tam Lozeh. Look what he says. I have to tell you, this is heavy to take. Rabbi Yisrael, I'm going to tell you. But you can see where a man, his level in Avodas Hashem is, and you see where he's coming from. And the Kuponim, the good news is that it shows that each and every Yid has at least a potential to strive for something higher. And look what he says. We always think about Avodah Zarah, right? What does Avodah Zarah mean? Avodah Zarah means worshipping an idol, right? Bowing down to some piece of wood or something. Avodah Zarah, worshipping strange gods. He says, not necessarily just that. Dehine Avodah Zarah loy tikra davke. Avodah Zarah is not only behoylech mishtachve letzelem with the mus, right, to some image, bowing down, or he slaughters before it, because if that's the case, then in most situations we won't have Avodah Zarah today. We're living in more sophisticated cultures, people, most of the world don't believe in that. It wouldn't be dangerous for a Yidin to fall into that. Very rare to find even a single Yid who's going to be subjected to this actual level of Avodah Zarah. And yet, the Torah is eternal. When the Torah talks about Avodah Zarah, it applies even today also. It means the definition of Avodah Zarah changes also. And the truth is, he says, Rak Yidua Teida, I want you to know, Avodah Zarah Mikra, Avodah Zarah is called, Kol Dovar Asher Odom Oise, everything or anything that a person does, Afil Mitzvah, V'choshev Shloi L'Kovet Hashem, Rak L'Shem Eze Pnei B'Yolom. Including in Avodah Zarah is if you do a mitzvah. But you're not doing it L'Shem Hashem. Your motives is not to serve Hashem. You're doing it for ulterior motives. You're doing it to satisfy yourself. Kegoin. Lisparas b'nei Yodom. Because you want to basically gain. You want to gain honor. The Oysher. The Kovet. Because if you're doing a mitzvah for the sake of honor, you're worshipping the honor. You're worshipping the people from whom you expect to derive honor. If you're doing it for the sake of monetary gain, you're worshipping the money. In other words, the mitzvah that you're doing, even a mitzvah, is the vehicle in order to attain the money gain, the ashiris, the kovet. So what are you worshipping? It's not Hashem. It's the money that you're worshipping. It's the Avodah Zarah of honor, the Avodah Zarah of kovet, the Avodah Zarah of ashiris. Haynes haben odom, oyes hamomen. And he points out and says even further. He says, Lech norei, don't think he says it's my chiddush. He says, don't think that I came up with this big idea. I want you to show you what the Choyves Halvova says, Bishar Yichud HaMaiser. Again, it's amazing words. If I would ask you, and this is not a Loch HaMaiser, but in the Hashkofe, the way how to look at things, what is worse, bang down to a cross, bang down to a tzelem, right? Or doing a mitzvah l'shem kovet l'shem honor? So say, what kind of a contest? Bang down to a piece of wood is 100 times worse. Says the Choyves Halvova says this now. You go back to Rishayim now. Choyves Halvova says, Hamaisa, he says, Erech Zeh. He says, Gerua Erech Zeh Ho'oived, a person who serves Hashem in this way, L'Shem Kovet, L'Shem Ashiris, Yoyser Megeroyen Oived Hatzlomen Begimel Pomim. I'll give you three reasons. You think of three reasons. Why is it worse if a person is an Oived Hashem L'Shem Omen? Right? Or for the sake of people? Right? Why is it worse than a person who's oivet tzlomim? He says three reasons. Number one, ki oivet tzlomim, he says, Because a person who basically worships a tzelem, he says, is oivet b'shituf echot. Which means like this. Basically, you have people that say they believe in God, but they also believe in other things as well. Right? So in addition to the Baal Shtoylam, he also believes in one more thing, another two things. A person who does things for the sake of people, so there's millions of people in the world. He's worshipping millions of people. So there's now millions of shutzim together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person was an oivet at Salem, so it's one shutif, or two, or three. But if he's doing it, l'shem people, what people think, so if there's millions of people in the world, he cares what all of them think. And he wants to be able to derive benefit from all of those. So Amelo Bezoid means that he actually has combined v'zeh oivet shutfei alfei alofim. Why? Hayem oivet lozeh. Now he's doing it because of this person. L'macho lozeh, tomorrow for that person. That's number one. Beis. A person is basically oivet atzlomim, the person who bows down, right, or he serves some sort of an image. Hopefully sooner or later he'll see this is a piece of wood. I mean, you expect anything to come out of this? So there's a good chance at least he's going to recognize. Noide gireyusoi v'yizbaze b'eina b'nei odom. Blamino boy. Hopefully he's going to drop it. But v'oivet ahu, but this person who does on the one hand serves Hashem, but he does it for all these ulterior motives, he says, he's doing it for the sake that yechabduhu v'yiftechu boy. And then Gimel, he says, thirdly, ironically, since when somebody says, bows down to some graven image, a rock, a piece of wood, that piece of wood is an innocent piece of wood. Somebody decided to call it a god. That piece of wood in its own right did not anger Hashem. But you're worshipping, you're doing things for what other people think, right, to give you honor. These are people who in their lives, right, many, many of them are no better than you, and they themselves are angering Hashem in their own behavior. So you're worshipping people, not even worshipping people, but you're worshipping people who themselves anger Hashem in their own life. So therefore it means, if Avodah Zarah takes on, by extension, this type of a service, a person is doing even a mitzvah, but he's doing it for self-gratification, this is also a level of Avodah Zarah. If so, it's very easy to fall into the trap of Avodah Zarah. So the Torah put a big resh. The Torah put a big resh. Make sure that you don't make a mistake. Don't think that this is not Avodah Zarah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, a big dalet. In other words, in order to clearly define your borders, to know Hashem Echad, there's only one service that really means you're actually serving Hashem. Remember the dalet. Don't confuse the dalet with the resh. Because it's very possible the person even does a mitzvah, and yet he's not really serving Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What he's involved is, ki lo yishtachav ele el acher. So says the Yagra Dekala, when it came to the Cheto Egel, and there in fact they did confuse the Echad with the Acher. They worshipped the golden calf. They worshipped the Egel. It seemed that the enlargement of the Resh and the Dalet was useless. So he says the beautiful Pshat, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, he says, Lech Reid Mugdoloscha, Resh Dalet. Take the Resh Dalet, might as well reduce it. The Resh Dalet remained Gedolim, right? The Resh Dalet, the Resh of Acher, and the Dalet of Echad have been enlarged. That didn't seem to help anything. So Lech Reid Mugdoloscha. You might as well reduce it from its Gedula. The Resh and the Dalet. Because we see that they didn't take the lesson. And they still were confused. Where did all this start from? It all started from Adam Rishon. When Adam Rishon was Chayteh, so now there became a mixture of Toiv and Ra and Ra B'Toiv. We get confused as to what is actually Toiv and what is actually Ra. The Yetzirah has Koiches, to be able to blind our eyes and to confuse us. We think it's a mitzvah, it's an Aveira. You thought it's a mitzvah. Ad kedei kach. It's an Aveira. The Dalet and the Resh needs a tikkun. What's the difference between the Dalet and the Resh? You know, it's very similar. The Resh is round. And what's the Dalet? It's a koitz. It's a dot. It's a dot. That dot at the end, right? That dot at the end is which determines whether you have a Dalet. If you have the dot at the end, right, it's sharp. But if it goes round, you don't have the dot, then it's a Resh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Adam Rishon, you know what you caused? The koitz, this little dot. Vidar dar, Dalet Resh, Dalet Resh, that's Miyahu. Now you're going to cause people to confuse the Dalet with the Resh, the Dalet of Echad and the Resh of Acher. He says, this is what you have caused. This is the responsibility. This is the burden that you are the Marishan have to carry on your shoulders. Because now for all time, till Mashiach comes, the Yitzhahara now is in business to be able to confuse people as to what in fact is Echod and what really belongs to Avodah Zarah, which is Eilacha. Many things, Chazal say, Kol HaKoyis, if a person gets angry, he loses control. It's also a form of Oyver Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the idea of a person, if a person gets angry, it's obviously because he believes that something should have gone the other way. Now, if you believe that Hashem has input in the things that are happening, and Hashem really guides the pace of the world, then this is the way it had to be. So, Kol HaKoyis, a person basically who attributes things to his own actions and to his own powers, in a certain sense, he's taking away from the supremacy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol HaKoyis is Kiloi V'Avodah Zarah. And so on, many, many other things that Chazal have told us that they border in the realm of Avodah Zarah. So, Kilis Ishtach V'Leil Acher, really, is the all-encompassing, much, much more than just simple Avodah Zarah, the lowest base of Avodah Zarah, just bowing down to some sort of an image, Le'etz V'Evin. But it involves, even when a person does a mitzvah for the wrong reasons, again, this is heavy to carry, but again, this is the Agra Dekala, as they say. You see a person who is on such a level, you can understand this is the goal, this is the potential that a Yid has within himself to rise to. So I want to show you something, and let's take a look at the sheet now. Remaining moments, let's see what we can do with it. First of all, we see here, number one, let's start with number one, for example. It's from a sefer called Yiro of Adas, Choshev Musa Sefer. It goes on the words of the Ramchal, Lachkor al klal ha-maisim. A person should basically investigate over all your past deeds. So he says very simply, he's giving you a practical example. He says, Lifnei sh'odom oisa maisa, or before you do a maisa, either way, before a person is out to do something, all of lachshoiv, stop. Stop and think, Yimaisezeh hu Ratzon Hashem. You may think it's the Ratzon Hashem. Stop and think, is it in fact Ratzon Hashem? Yesh liyodom lehizbayin, a person has to really give thought, pay attention, ha'imash ha'niyoisezu hi mitzvah, v'chaz v'sholom aveira. L'moshel, ha'im ani mitzayir anoshim? Am I someone, right? Am I going to be mitzayir people with it? Have fights, people fight to go to the yomut? No kind of things. Is it really a mitzvah? Thinks big schus for the neshama of his father. He doesn't realize. It's just the opposite. he lowered his father's neshama a few notches down. The schus of being mevater, not to be mitzayer. Or like Rav Salanter used to do. So Salanter, when he was a guest in some place. He washed until he died. Washed before eating bread. You take the smallest amount of water, the smallest shear. You ask him, Rebbe, you're supposed to do a mitzvah in the best way possible. It's a mitzvah to use a lot of water. So he says, who's the one drawing the water? It's not today at sinks, just water coming out of there. You have to have a water carrier. The expense of a water carrier, he says, I should use a lot of water for my mitzvah. What about the tzar? The prisoner got to schlep the water, carry the water. So Salanter, he came to baking matzahs. And he had to leave on a particular mission. Famous story. The Talmidim asked him, give us some pointers. What are your chumras that you have in baking matzah, special way of baking matzah? So he says, the women, he says, who roll the dough, make sure that you make the dough with water, he says, not with blood, he says. With water and flour. Because if you're going to stand over and mucha and mucha and mucha, he says, many times, sometimes, you're overstepping your bounds. This is a chesed. Used to say, somebody puts on a talus, you know, Shabbos morning, takes on very quickly with the biggest obvious reasons. Takes that talus and the tzitzit slap five people. Five people in the way. He didn't admit it. Don't get talus. Same time, you have to be careful what you're doing. This is called Zahiris. Yasu cheshem al kol milim b'diburoi. Be careful what comes out of your mouth when you're saying something. How many people might you hurt by saying what you're saying? Is this Lashon Hara? Am Zulei Tzonis? Maybe it's Gaia. It's gaiva, it's chaos, haughtiness, arrogance. Make sure that you're doing something, not trying to fool people. But do that cheshbon, he says, lifnei asiyas hamaisa. Do it before you're about to do something. Think before you act. And then once you've done the mitzvah or done the act, think again. Check it before and check it after. He says, "Believe zeh, ein hu oyved Hashem." Otherwise, he says, "May not be an oyved Hashem." Now, going back to what we pointed out, Ramchal said that Noyach lo liyodom, Chazal have told us that it's best that man was not created rather than he was created. It's fascinating words here from Rav Hutner, which is kedai to see. And he asks a basic question. He says, how can you say that the creation of man, right, is something which had been better not to have taken place when the Torah says ki toiv by the creation of man? The Torah says ki toiv, that it's good. Hashem Yisrael was good. Not only good, it says toiv moid. The creation of man, it says toiv mioid. The Torah says it's toiv mioid. And here come Chazal and they say, Noyach l'liyodom would have been better for man never to be created. Let's take a look here. Noyach l'liyodom. Noyach l'liyodom shaloi nivra mishanivra. Says Rav Hutner in Pachad Yitzchok. He says, Hakul chardul ikras mamra muflazeh. This is a mamra that everybody is bothered by. Halemikru mefurishu b'toyra there's a beferishu posik la'acha abriyas odom ki hinei toiv mioid. Not only that, the word ma'oid, it's reserved libriyas adam davke. It's reserved davke to briyas adam, to the creation of man. So how do we go along in the other hand? And right away we turn around and we say, noyach lo liyodom shaloi nivra. Best they have not been created. El shehem heim advarim. This is part of an essay from before. But the truth is, he says, halo ikar hachidish bebriyas adam hu. What is the biggest chidish? What is the something special that man has over all the animals? What is the specialty that defines man over all animals? Over the creation of any living beings, creatures, any of the creatures. Man has bechira, man has choice. Man has choice to make an intelligent decision to choose what to do. Rabbi Lapian, by the way, used to say, he says, you're telling me man has choice? Don't animals have choice? When they want to eat, it eats, right? Cow wants to eat, she eats. Doesn't want to eat, when she wants to sleep, she sleeps. Joel has choice. So you make a mistake. She has no choice to do against her nature. The choice that she has is to do what nature dictates. If nature says she's hungry, she's going to do it. She has no choice to make intelligence, I'm not going to eat for some reason. She doesn't have that. Man has the choice to be able to decide to go against his nature. Only man has it possible. Man has this ability. That's the chiddush of man. That was brought out in the greatness of man. Man has the ability of bechira, to choose. Vayitzer b'shnei yudin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote, Vayitzer, a man was formed. There's two yuds, b'shnei yudin. Yitzira kefula, minel yoyinim etachtoim, because man is a composite. He's spiritual, he is physical, he is both. Baharein is ba'alonu. And we already explained, ki hayachas hachiyuvi lekoich ha-bechira. He says, Bechira is something positive. If you think that Bechira is something very positive, free choice, free will is positive, that runs hand in hand. He says, Over hu davki, he says, Al derech hayachas ashlili. That's because of the pitfalls. In other words, the maila, free choice, why is it so great? Because there is such a great danger, right? And there's so much temptation against it. So being that the risk factor is so great, that's what makes Bechira something positive. Because if you're successful in conquering it, so then you've reached the tremendous madrega, the highest level possible. So in other words, the negative side of Bechira is what gives the positive side its great level, right, of madrega that it has. In other words, Ein Usher HaBechira Mizgale. He has the greatness, the cheshivas, the good fortune of having free choice does not come out, does not emerge. You also have to understand the danger. Because the Maila Bechira is that gives you, that gives man this great credit, which gives man the great recognition of his actions, because being that free choice has also the negative possibility, which is so strong, therefore if he's able to make intelligent choice to go against it, that's why Bechira, the positive side is so great. Why? Precisely because there's a dangerous side. Had not been the dangerous side, so the good side is no big deal. There's no challenge, there's no contest. But being that Bechira has its pitfalls to such a large degree, so now the positive side of Bechira, when you do choose the right thing, makes it tremendously great. Hare adrabe, he anesenes. So therefore it comes out therefore. So the opposite works out, which means, ke'ein ha-toiv mo'id she-bebriyas ha-odom izgala. You know when the toiv mo'id of creation of man emerges? Ela achar ha-hakore ha-choideres. It's only when you recognize ki noyach lo'il yodom she-loi nivra yoyse mishinivra. In other words, being that the temptations are so great, that it would have been better man not to be created. Why? Because the temptation is great. So if you're able to counter that, and you're able to overturn that, there's nothing greater that man can achieve. That's the toiv mo'id. Toiv mo'id means the potential that man can reach. And that's dafke because there's bechira to do the other side as well. So, noyach lo'il yodom she-loi nivra yoyse mishinivra. Because unfortunately, not many of us will pass the test. But we have the choice to make that intelligent decision. We study, we delve into it. And when mispal v'siyata d'shumaya, you can overcome that. If you overcome that, so the toiv mo'id of man is precisely great because no yichlei lodim shloim nivra. Why? Because the temptation is so great to want him choose the other side. Being because he has the ability and he has the temptation, he has the leanings more to the other side. That's why toiv mo'id means when man reaches the pinnacle, what man alone is able to achieve, that's highest level of anything that is created on this earth. So the toiv mo'id is connected with that. So this is the idea. By other animals, there's no such thing to say an animal better than behemoth would not be created. It's not important. Behemoth is created for what it was created. It wasn't created to serve or to do any service. It's created. It benefits the world. Whatever position HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, delineated the function of each and everything in the creation world. So the thing is, if there's no Nisayan, then there's no Toiv Mo'id either. Toiv Mo'id of man is dafke because of the dangers. In the last 5 minutes, I want to show you a drasha that Kreisler said many, many years ago. They took it off the tape, by the way. This is just a beautiful thought. He said it in his yeshiva, Merkel Satayre. Rav Kreisler, chief rabbi of Antwerp, you know, there's his role. He had the yeshiva, Merkel Satayre. He used to travel back and forth. He traveled to a lot of places. He was also in Chicago. So it was Rosh Yeshiva there, years before. So he said something very interesting. He said like this, and in order to save time, we're going to start from the second paragraph, the Huk Shali. The basic question that he asks, look here, Rabbi Isai. Bisham and Bisil are sitting 2.5 years, they are pondering whether it's better for man to be created or not. Isn't this a theoretical discussion? So now what? It's better, it's not better. We're here, right? What do we gain by knowing it's not better or to know that it's better? Shem gave us a Torah. Shem told us what we have to do. Not to think, had it been better not, had it been better yes. So what? It's theoretical. We are here. We are created. What do we gain by knowing it would have been better this way or would have been better that way? Shem created us. We're here. It would seem that this Shiloh, whether it's better, you see, if the question is to create man or not, so now you have a discussion. Should we or shouldn't we? Right? But we are here. Hashem did create us. To know whether it was a good idea or a bad idea, quote unquote, it's a theoretical question. You can argue about this for 2.5 years. Should have or should have not. He did. Is it better or is it not better? He did create us. We're here. So what are we pondering? What are we trying to gain from this side? What are we trying to find out? He points out as follows. Vuhukshali. He says, I had a kasha. The Vuhukshali says, I had a kasha. And that kasha was Al Divra HaGemara. The Gemara is questioning, right? Whether Toiv Lo Shenivra, Toiv Lo Shaloi Nivra. He says, Im Lo Adam Hoya Toiv Yoyse Shaloi Lihi Voleid. Whether it's better for man not to be born, or Yoyse Toiv Kein Lihi Voleid, or it's better that he was born. Lechayr Zui She'ela Theoretis. Modern Hebrew. This is a theoretical question. She'ela Shum Achizah B'Metzias. It has no practical application, it would seem. In Ba'olam HaMais, it seems that this philosophical discussion had no practical application. Ketet Yitochen Adover. So how is it possible that these great people were arguing for 2.5 years about something which doesn't seem to have any practical application? B'mechelku b'meshech shtei shon mo'mechtza perik zman koy memushech. Such a long, long time. Right, such a long, long time. So he says, now go down to Omnom. Skip the next paragraph. Go down to Omnom. Linere. Because this is really where he says. Omnom Linere, he says. So Rav Kreisvitz says, it appears to me, it is. There is a nafkimin, there is a practical application to know which side of the spectrum are we. Whether it was better for man to be created or not. What's the practical application? I'll explain it to you. He says like this, When a baby is born, once a baby is born on this earth, responsibilities come along with it. Of course, he has to grow up first. From the moment that a baby is born, right, a whole bundle of responsibility is attached to him. It's a tremendous responsibility to exist in this world. Something's expected of you. Like Rav Elie Aplan used to say many times, Rabbi Yan says, you know, you live through this world, you know, you run through this world like for 70, 80 years. Said B'Shem Rav Shlomo Salanter, Rav Shlomo Salanter said, realize one thing, this world is an expensive hotel, you're going to pay for everything, he said. Everything you took on this world, he says, it's going to be a cheshbon, there's going to be a bill in the next world, you're going to pay for it, he says. One way or another, certain items you're going to get credit for, certain items you're going to, there's no credit cards, by the way, they're cash, you know, you have to pay for it, in a serious way. So he says, so there's a big, tremendous achrayas, he says. Kol kachah beboyos, he says, there's so many problems, there's so many nisyoin, there's so many challenges. You're talking eifoy, so you'll say to yourself, shenetilas achrayas ain't a kedoyos. You'll say, okay, it's not kedai. Baby was born, you'll say, it's not kedai. Kimi oimer shenuch alamah, who says we'll be able to carry out this achrayas? Misad hasheni, on the other hand, if the baby, this baby was now born, if, when he grows up, and he lives his life of 80, 90 years, if he is successful, he has achieved an enormous, right, accomplishment, he says. What's better? In other words, what he's saying is as follows. Listen, Rabbi Yisai, people are in business, and people risk investments, enormous amounts of money. Why do they do that? Because they have a cheshbon that what? That investing this money, there's a good chance I'll be able to double it or to triple it. So they start making a cheshbon, right? What are the possibilities? What are the possibilities of profit on the other side? So the bigger the chance of profit, the more you're ready to invest, to risk, right? You're ready to risk more if the profit is more. But what happens if the profit is not kedai? But the chances of profit is very, very slim. You're not going to invest a lot of money. Now, it's possible that you might gain tremendous. There could be a slim chance. If you make it, tremendous. But is it worth the try? Is it worth the risk? Sometimes the business says it's worth the risk. Sometimes it's not worth the risk. But if you happen to overcome the risk, and if you're successful, so then the achievements are tremendous. The question we have to ask you like this. A person comes down in this world. He has an opportunity to reap tremendous profits if he lives his life in accordance with the Torah, in accordance with the mitzvahs. He comes up in Shemaim a billionaire. The question, Rabbi Yisai, it's risky. Is the business worth it? Is the business worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it being born for that? By telling us that it's not worth it means they are telling us what your responsibility is in this world. In other words, he was telling you, look, see how the risk is so great that it's not worth it. The profit is not worth it. Why is the profit not worth it? Because the risk of not achieving might be greater. That, knowing that, now you are on guard and you have been told, right, no surprises, how to live your life in this world with greater vigilance. In other words, if I would have told you that it is kedai to be born, that means because the risk is not so great, that would lessen the responsibility that we have on this world. Because the risk is not great. It means I'm telling you that what? No, it's easier manageable than you thought. It's not as hard as you think. You can do it. The risk is not so gefährlich. It's not. You can do it. You can manage it. It's not insurmountable. By telling us that it's best that man was not created, we're telling him that the investment, really, on pencil and paper, doesn't work. It's not kedai to be born. Even on the one side, you gain tremendous. If you're successful, you're great, you become a billionaire, right, in the next world. But the chances are you may lose. It's too risky. Now that I told you how risky this world is, you better know how to live in this world. That's what we're being told. Halacha lemaaseh. Once we find out, to find out how risky it is, this the highway of life. how careful we have to be. We have to wear a very strong spiritual seatbelt. Make sure that you don't speed, meaning you have to think before you act. Everything has to be thought out. In such a case, we'll be zoiche to what the Ramchal Taka tell us, that we'll be zoiche further to Siyata Dishumaya, as he says further in the next pieces, we'll see. And Emes will be able to overturn, and ultimately for us, it'll be Toiv Loyal Yodam, Shinivri Yosem Shinivri.